There was once a very devout woman who had 3 children and a husband. And her husband and one of her children were not Christian. They had not only were they not Christian, they had nothing to do with the Christian life and actually lived lives contrary to it. And though two of this woman's children lived the faith out devoutly, she was so distressed by her husband and by her son, who would neglect the faith, the thing most dear to her in this world, and, I want us to say it, the most precious thing on this earth, the faith we have in Jesus Christ, the means of our salvation and eternal redemption. And this woman would pray day in and day out and weep bitterly for her husband and son, but ever with the hope that one day, they might convert to the faith. This woman's struggles with her family, her loved ones who have left the faith, is probably pretty familiar to most of us. I'm sure most of us who have family members, friends, those dear to us that have left the faith, or are wandering from the church. And this is so distressing. We can ask the question, why, Lord, do you allow this to happen? What could I have done? What can I do now to undo this? What can change these hearts, the hearts of those I love, to bring them back to the one true faith, to bring them true faith and conversion in Christ Jesus? The parable we hear today, the parable of the weeds in the field, is actually a great message of hope for us who long for the conversion of those we love. We hear that the kingdom of God is like wheat planted in a field, good seed planted in a field. But at night, after the good seed has been planted, the enemy rushes in and plants bad seed, plants temptation, plants sin, plants negativity and discouragement into the field. But the master of the house, when approached by his servants who want to pull up the weeds, he says, no, wait. If you pull up the bad seed, the weeds, you may accidentally, at the same time, pull up the good seed that I have planted. Allow both to remain, and in my time, both, there will be, the good seed will be collected. The harvest will be gathered. This is a great image for us of God's divine patience. When one of those we love wanders from the church, wanders from the faith, when we wander from the faith, God waits patiently for us. He's always gently drawing us back. His Holy Spirit does not shout most of the time. He does not always come down with fire like he did with the apostles. He oftentimes only whispers like he did to Elijah. Only a faint whisper, come back. And it takes a long time to hear that whisper. There's one of my favorite poems by G.K. Chesterton. There's a couple lines that may illuminate this for us, this reality of God's patience. In his poem called The Nativity, Chesterton writes, God abides in a terrible patience, unangered, unworn, again for the child that was squandered. God abides or lives in a terrible patience. When someone, a relative of ours, a friend of ours, wanders from the faith, isn't a terrible waiting process to allow them to come back to us. And we kind of shout out to God, Lord, what are you doing? Why are you silent? God abides in a terrible patience. Terrible for us, but in his time, successful. He is unangered, unworn. He waits patiently, always gentle, always peaceful, always waiting at the heels of those who have wandered, ready to call them back. The prodigal son, the prodigal daughters in our lives are ready to come back at some time. And the Lord is unworn, untied. He is not tired at all for that moment. He waits patiently. And he waits for the child that was squandered, the child who may have picked the weed and chosen the weed over the wheat. But he waits. He always waits for us and for those who are wandering. So what is our call this Sunday and every day to do? Our call is to imitate our Lord's patience. If God waits patiently for people to return to faith, the church, shouldn't we? Therefore, we should never burn bridges with those we love or those who have left the church. We should never say anything rash or insensitive out of frustration or anger that might compromise their return. I'm not saying that we compromise the faith or that we neglect truth or that we might throw aside the faith or say they can do whatever they want. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that we offer up that them to Almighty God, wait patiently as he does. But there must be something else other than waiting, other than not being angry. What's the positive response to these people? In our kind of second two parables we have in today's gospel is the answer. The mustard seed and the wheat mixed in the dough, they are symbols that God does so much with so little. The mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds, grows to become the greatest of trees, wherein birds of the sky make their nests. And the wheat, or in the yeast, put into the flour, put into the dough, makes it rise to double or triple its size. What are we to do positively? We are to pray. Our second reading says that the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how we are to pray. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. When we desire our loved ones to return to the faith, isn't sometimes all we have to offer to our Lord is inexpressible groanings? Groanings of desire that they would return, that they would come back, and we would be united once again in the most important thing in all the world, our faith. So my friends, I offer this as a bit of encouragement, and the encouragement from our Lord, that we should wait with his patience, not being angry at those who have wandered, not being frustrated, but being patient for their return, and offering up our prayers every day for them, that they would come back to the embrace of the church, to the embrace of Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, the prayer that we offer will not only bring them back, but also transform our hearts, give us the patience that we sometimes lack, heal the wounds that we feel from their absence. The Lord is always with us, always guiding those we love and ourselves closer to him. So let's return to the woman praying for her husband and her son. This woman prayed for her husband for 34 years, and on his deathbed, he converted to the faith. She prayed for her son for 18 years, and eventually he was baptized. He became a priest, became a bishop. This woman's name was, we know her as Saint Monica, and her son, Saint Augustine of Hippo, is one of the greatest saints that we have ever had in this church. It is said that there were tear marks on her face for how much she wept for her children. But she prayed every day that the Lord would convert her husband and her son. And she is the patron saint of those who wish to bring back their loved ones to the church. So on this Sunday, when we lift up our prayers to our Heavenly Father, when we offer the Eucharist for those who have wandered, let us ask Saint Monica's intercession, that we would grow in God's patience and never say anything out of anger to those we love, but always pray for them, always be gentle to them, to lead them back to Christ and His church, where true peace and true joy are found.